Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. The subject is CBD, which is a very intriguing molecule. It's a derivative of hemp, and yes, it's a constituent of the marijuana plant. But let's clear this up front and center. Just because we're talking about CBD does not mean that we are foursquare in favor of marijuana legalization, that we want marijuana to become a recreational drug. That's a matter for people to make their own personal decision about, or to vote in a state election and decide if they want to legalize marijuana. This is quite different. Although this is a constituent of marijuana, this is not something that is a recreational drug. It's not to get high. It's something that may have specific clinical applications, and research is being pursued with great vigor these days, because CBD has a lot of potential. Our guests are Todd Davis, who's CEO of Endex. Their website is at cbdunlimited.com. It's a company that is pioneering CBD research and extraction methods and other related compounds, because there are a lot of what are called terpenes, which are compounds that can be extracted from hemp and purified. And Dr. Daniel Kitty, who's a medical practitioner familiar with the clinical use of CBD. So, gentlemen, so what I stated up front, it's pretty clear this is not, a so-called nose under the tent for marijuana legalization. This is something quite different and distinct, correct?
That's correct. There's, there's guilt by association, because the CBD molecule does come from cannabis or species of cannabis. The way we work with the molecule itself is the molecule is extracted from industrial hemp and then isolated either into an oil, a naturally occurring oil from the plant, and then can either be further reduced just into a pure isolate at over a 99% concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So all the products that we work with, that we test with, that we're supporting case studies with, is all hemp-derived product, which under the U.S. Farm Bill Act and under guidelines and regulations with key states, we're able to work with the CBD in a legal manner in all 50 states.
So this is interesting. So some of my patients say, all right, well, what about CBD? I go on the internet, there's all these places that sell CBD or hemp oil. And then in certain states, they're setting up state-supervised and inspected pharmacies where people can go either, on their own. In Colorado, you can go on your own, but in certain states, you have to go with a doctor's prescription. In New York, you can go with a doctor's prescription, but not just any doctor can prescribe it. There's only a handful of prescribers who can prescribe it. They have to go through an intensive vetting process just to make sure they're not going to abuse it and that they're going to prescribe it for medically legitimate reasons. And there are only a few that are allowed in the state of New York. It's, I think, for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, one of them. I think MS is one of them. But if you just want it because maybe, you want to feel the buzz, that's not a legitimate prescription. So there's a great disparity in the marketplace and in the laws from state to state. So how do we eliminate some of this confusion?
I think through education, mostly. There's in the states that you're referring to, for instance, New York, people there can get CBD as long as they get it from hemp. It's just not available to everywhere in the United States. You do have to take the risk of going online, doing your research, and finding quality suppliers of the product. When we were doing our initial research and our investigation of the potential of the plant and everything else, one of the more challenging things that we faced was finding suppliers and farmers, extractors, and providers of the product that we could trace and really understand the quality of the product and what had touched that plant from its seed to its full-grown source. So that's one of the challenges for the United States population that wants to try the product. They've got to do the research. You have to get certificates of analysis. You want your products to be lab tested. multiple times along its life cycle, and you want to make sure that your product is coming from a source that is regulated by at least a state regulatory body. So, you know, part of the process is know your product, know what you're buying. And, you know, that's where we come in. We provide all the analysis. We make that readily available to anybody who wants to buy the product. They can see the lab results. They can see our source of origin. And we share that very transparently with everybody.
So are there different laws in different states about getting it? I mean, right now, I don't think it's sold in health food stores. You can't say, hey, you know, give me a bottle of CBD. Or can you in certain states? I guess Colorado, maybe.
You can in certain states. There's right now, there's 26 states that have been one way or another legally approved to sell CBD. The majority of CBD still in the United States comes from marijuana plants. So it's in the marijuana plant, too, but you can't. Whatever state is regulating that plant, the plant product and the byproducts of that plant can't leave that state. It has to stay within that state to be a legal product.
So in other words, for a listener in a state where there's very restrictive laws, if they go to, well, say Colorado, for sort of a free fire zone, or any of the states where it's made available more readily, and they bring it back to their state, are they technically in violation of the law?
If the source of that CBD is from marijuana, I believe so.
Okay, it sounds like
there's room for translation, but when it comes from industrial hemp, it bypasses some of that regulation.
Yeah, it sounds like a very confusing state of affairs. I mean, isn't there perhaps some need for some harmonization of the laws from state to state in the United States? So at least, you know, there's not such a disparity in availability and in legality.
Yeah,
that's an ongoing thing currently.
At every level in every state, each state's politics address this differently. And most states are just going to stay compliant on a hardline basis according to the classification that something from the marijuana plant is a Class 1 or Schedule 1 drug. Mm-hmm. And that makes, in and of itself, that makes it federally illegal for those molecules. We're under the guidelines of the U.S. Farm Bill Act, which stated that products derived from industrial hemp don't carry that same classification. So, and then when we work with a farmer, we're working with a farmer that is under state and federal guidelines that fit that principle. So that's really the only way for a company, at least like ours, to operate safely and legally is through that series or that chain of custody.
So there's nothing illicit about what you're doing. It's you know, you're all lawyered up and you're all plugged into the regulations. So when you offer your product, and you do have offerings over the internet, it's not because you're some renegade, you know, here today, gone tomorrow company that is trying to circumvent the rules.
No, not at all. We're a compliance company. We're a transparency company by practice, both in technology and by practice of providing consumer products. Mm-hmm. So, and there are several companies in the industry like this. There is an industry movement. There is a movement at our industry's level to make sure that this is legitimate and safe and desirable for the public and safe for the public. There are people trying to get around it, and that's where you see the FDA letter pop up where they're warning companies because they're just egregiously making statements, and they're very, very sloppy, and it's very scary at some of the sources where they get their product from. Mm-hmm. There is black market product out there, and that buyer beware. You definitely have to be careful here.
You know, so I've heard a rumor, and you know, sometimes these are, you know, conspiracy theories, that the FDA is trying to make CBD prescription only. That it's trying to quash the consumer pipeline for CBD and make it only something that is available, maybe made by big pharmaceutical companies that then will require prescription. And that also, you know, for each claim, you know, say you say it's good for migraines. Okay, fine. It will have to go through an FDA process that could cost hundreds of millions of dollars to do the clinicals to allow them to say that it's good for this or it's good for that. Treat it like a regular drug. Is this something that is hanging over your heads?
It's out there. You know, the FDA has their ways, and there's good reason there are conspiracy theories about this. Our thought process is that it's a naturally occurring molecule from a plant. And there hasn't been a lot of success out there by the FDA to put those naturally occurring molecules to rest or prevent people from using them.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you start to synthesize those or marry those to other things, especially in the medical field, you're going to have to do the testing. You're going to have to fall into that protocol. But as long as it's naturally derived and you're pulling it in its pure form from the plant, it's going to be difficult to regulate that side from it, that side of the equation.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, going back to what I stated in the first part of this program was, we want both sides to be right, the consumer side and the science and medicine side. So I don't think you can completely delineate the two. You have to support both so that the product gets out there and does what it's intended to do.
Okay. So let's come back to go ahead, Dr. Kinney. Go ahead.
My thought on that subject is not only FDA, I think there are certain pharmaceutical companies, one in particular, that are trying to force it so that they have the exclusive mm-hmm. rights to CBD.
Right.
Therefore, they're putting money and pressure on companies that are trying to utilize CBD, saying you can't do that. When in reality, CBD being a naturally occurring molecule, there's nothing that says you can't utilize something that's natural if it doesn't have psychedelic properties and if mm-hmm. it's not on a Schedule 1 tier. But there's a particular company out of Canada that is trying to put, you know, monopoly on CBD.
Right. So
and when it comes to politics and drug companies and money, I don't need to say much more.
Yeah, I think we know about that for sure. Okay. So let's come back to some of the clinical applications of this in the remaining time that we have. I have a patient who is suffering from chronic severe nausea. He's a young gentleman. He's a 19-year-old or 20-year-old, and he's for some reason suffering from very, very severe nausea. There's nothing clear-cut that's medically wrong with him. He just has very severe nausea. It's been puzzling. He's been to numerous gastroenterologists to find out the specific cause, and they can't really determine what it is. And so I've suggested that he get his hands on some CBD oil. And indeed, it has had a very, very beneficial effect on his nausea. Is that one of the things that you're seeing in your clinical work?
In my clinical work, I have not particularly dealt with many patients with nausea. Now, I've had multiple patients say they have nauseous-type feelings due to pain.
Mm-hmm.
When patients are experiencing an 8 and 9 average pain level in the evening, and of course neuropathy tends to present more so in the evening. The theory behind that is the blood flow to the myelin sheath, which are the small vessels, become impaired. You're not getting proper oxygenation and supply to the sheath. That's the theory. I'm not sure, and once again, more research has to be done. Is the CBD molecule causing relaxation, allowing increased dilatation to the vessel? We don't know yet. All I know is my patients that are having a nauseous type feeling with excruciating pain have reduced to the 1 to 2 and no nausea and actually have energy during the day because they're sleeping at night.
Mm-hmm. What about cancer? Because there, sometimes, on Facebook you see the claim that, you know, smoke pot for your cancer, it'll help your cancer. But that sounds outlandish. It makes you think like, okay, if you're dying of cancer, go ahead and smoke pot, doesn't matter anyway, and you need some pain relief. But actually, there's more to it than that. There may be an immunological effect of CBD that may ultimately slow the progression of certain cancers, not just relieve cancer pain.
Well, some of the
Correct.
Things that we've,
Once again,
you know, we've talked to other doctors and scientists out there, and there's a lot of animal studies that show clear evidence of absolute shrinkage of tumors, even human cancer tumors that have been inserted into animals, where they'll see a disappearance of the tumor in days or, you know, within a month, in a reasonable amount of time. On the cancer statement side out there, you know, we keep going back to the point where if it can reduce inflammation, inflammation is part of the cancer cycle or the oxidative stress cycle. So if we're able to help the body reduce the inflammation, can the body fight the battle against cancer better? That's where the science has got to pick up. And in America, they just haven't had that many studies on from a cancer basis, but we are seeing clear-cut evidence that it does benefit patients with cancer. Not all forms, but some.
Mm-hmm. And cardiovascular disease is another area where there may be benefits. How might that fit in?
From our understanding, from the doctors that we work with and different scientists we work with, there are CB receptors in the arterial walls, and it promotes relaxation of those arterial canals or the arteries in general, where it relaxes it. If they've been stressed or they're tightening or they're squeezing, even the muscles around them that are squeezing on those arteries, the CBD is showing to promote some relaxation of that total process of the pressure. The pressure on the arteries, the pressure from the muscles, even pressure from the muscles on the nerves. So cardiovascularly, we haven't done enough study. We don't have enough data. We do get reports that people have reductions in blood pressure, reductions in cholesterol levels, and they haven't really made that many changes to their lifestyle other than the introduction of CBD. So there are some ancillary correlations there, but still more study needs to be done.
Maybe you're working on
that. To add to that, I also recently ran across an abstract where they're going to be extensive studies on cardiac surgery because it's been shown that exposure to THC reduces your chances of a heart attack by over 30% postoperatively.
Wow. Well, that's certainly impressive. Any other areas that you want to share with us about areas of potential benefit?
Well, I can tell you this, you know, getting into some of the benefits for people. The majority of the people who use our products are between 50 and 100 years old. These are people who have beat up their bodies, they've lived life, and they want to continue to live active lifestyles. We have, you know, oodles of testimony on the reduction of joint pain and joint inflammation to the point where their knees and their hips and their hands are no longer aching from arthritis or other conditions. More mobility in the joints. Bursitis has been relieved. Plantar fasciitis has been relieved. Finger locks in elderly patients that where their arthritis is so bad they get lock finger. Those relieve. Carpal tunnel type syndromes or tennis elbow or wrist pain. A lot of those types of symptoms are dramatically dropping within the first month of use of the product. So, you know, just from those simple functionality things that people reach for an over-the-counter type drug, an ibuprofen, a Tylenol, for relief, they're able to get that from the CBD without the harmful side effects.
That's very exciting. So, gentlemen, where do we go from here? What's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? Where can people better inform themselves? And what about sourcing CBD? And also, I think, a dimension of political activism that has to enter in here, because I think our listeners are constantly on the lookout for ways in which the government is trying to infringe on our access to natural supplements. I think CBD kind of fits that category.
Yeah, and I think the longer we go, the more controversial and more attention it's going to get as we isolate it down to individual compounds. There are lobbyists paid out there to fight the medical marijuana industry. They're out there to fight the use of products like a CBD. They're plugged in both and supported both by companies, governmental bodies, and competition. So you'll see a lot of this out there, and the more attention these products and the science gets, the more controversy it's going to create. And So the battle will go on for a very long period of time. And, you know, the hope that the pharmaceuticals and the FDA can control this is because they want the right people to make the money. There are benefits to that because you know you're going to get safe products and you know you're going to get the proper distribution and education. But I think there's, with the amount of people and activism that is involved with this movement in general, it's happening very, very quickly. This wave started a few years ago where it actually got momentum, and, you know, through education, the public will enforce change, both through voting. There are a supermajority of the states will have some type of legal representation after this election cycle. Many states are looking for full legalization. There's pressure at the UN level to get rid of the UN Act of 1970 when they made marijuana illegal internationally. So there's a lot of political change and legal change that needs to take place first. And then everything can right itself. Then it'll become a capitalistic market 100%. But until that point, it'll be political, economic, and educational.
Dr. Kitty, anything to add to that?
Our goal, of course, is to... Well, I was going to say, our goal is to help people eliminate pain, live a better quality of life. If we can do that naturally, which I feel what God made, and yes, I believe in God, what God made works much better in our bodies than what man tries to make or tries to twist. As we watch commercials and laugh how it could kill you and all the other things that go on. Whereas if you take something that's natural, it doesn't have the side effects, and if it has the benefits, why would you not go that route? The government, who I feel is bankrupt, and the pharmaceutical companies, who I feel just want to make dollars, their agenda, of course, is to twist it or to capitalize it and keep other people from it to make money. Yes, we would like to make money in our hard work, but the point is our goal is not money. Our goal is how can we get people that are suffering out of pain? And that's why I became a physician. So we're working hard on that end, and that's all I have to add.
Well, great. That's a wonderful statement. That sort of sums it up. So what are some resources that people can access to learn more about CBD?
Well, we have two suggested resources. One is our website, cbdunlimited.com. But there's a lot of research on sites like PubMed, where if you just type in cannabidiol or CBD, you'll start to find the science and the information that everybody's excited about. And anytime there's something new posted, it's there. There's good information out there in social media, but you have to be careful of that too. A lot of it has a hidden agenda that drive you to a purchase more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it comes to wellness and administering a healthy lifestyle, everybody needs to do their research. We're trying to narrow it down as a company to provide the best research that we can find that's informative and legitimate science that backs what is going on with this amazing molecule. So Dr. Kitty's right. You know, anybody who's not in this business to make people better or improve their lifestyle or their wellness shouldn't be in this business. And those, unfortunately, they're going to be out there. And you have to wade through some of this junk that's out there to get to high-quality companies that are going to provide you with a high-quality product.
Well, I want to thank both of you, gentlemen, and I want to also congratulate you for taking the high road in an area that is, I think, fraught with peril, you know, both legal, political, and economic, and in an attempt to bring the benefits of this remarkable substance to the attention of the public and to make it available in a pure and a safe and unadulterated form, and to educate the public as to its applications. And so I wish you luck, and you know, hopefully we'll bring you back on for a reprise as, you know, more research is performed and more advances occur in making CBD available. I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, we would love to come back on. Just FYI, I am starting a very large study on April 1st. That's not an April Fool's joke. with a physician also in Florida and another physician in the St. Louis area, and the three of us are going to be doing a pretty extensive study on the use of CBD. Mainly, we're focusing once again on neuropathy pain. But we will, after 1 month, have be gathering results as to how those patients did in the three areas, and I'd love to share those with you down the road.
Well, absolutely. Ping me when that study is ready for public disclosure, and we'll share it with our Intelligent Medicine audience. Thanks again, Dr. Daniel Kitty and Todd Davis, CEO of Endex. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.